I watch the morning sun light the sky. The creation as it came to life, you amaze me. Oh God, you amaze me. I've watched the ocean crash against the sand. Can't hear you. Behind the boundaries of your unseen hand, you amaze me. That's better. Oh God, you amaze me. Here we go. When everything was void, you were there. Darkness was everywhere. You spoke the word, there was light. You held dust in your hand, gave it breath and called it man. The angels that stood by your side must have cried, you amaze me. Amen. Holy, holy. I watched the mother hold a newborn child. They looked like mama with her daddy's smile. You amaze me. Oh God, you amaze me. I watch the season as they come and go. A field of flowers to a field of snow. You amaze me. Oh God, you amaze me. Everything was void, you were there. Darkness was everywhere. You spoke the word, there was light. You held dust in your hand, gave it breath and called it man. The angels that stood by your side must have cried, you amaze me. Holy, holy. Start again. I watched this morning sun light the sky. Beheld creation as it came to life. You amaze me. Oh God, you amaze me. I watched the ocean crest against the sand. Behind the boundaries of your unseen hand, you amaze me. Oh God, you amaze me. When everything was void, you were there. Darkness was everywhere. You spoke the word, there was light. You held dust in your hand, gave it breath and called it man. The angels that stood by your side must have cried, you amaze me. Holy, holy. A mother hold a newborn child that looked like mama with the daddy smile. You amaze me. Oh God, you. We've got God's DNA too. We look like him. Amen. I watch the seasons as they come and go. A field of flowers to a field of snow. You amaze me. Oh God, you amaze me. Everything was void, you were there. Darkness was everywhere. You spoke the word, there was light. You held dust in your hand, gave it breath and called it man. The angels that stood by your side must have cried, you amazed me. Sing it like you believe it. Praise you, Jesus. Isn't that fun? And you know, I can identify with this beautiful song. Because he was there all through my prodigal years, you know. I was never not his son. I was always his son. Even though I was running and maybe doing things. His spirit kept following me.
And he is the hound of heaven, and he'll keep chasing you till he, he chases you down, puts his foot on your neck, and then you tell everybody, I found Jesus when he found you. You know what I mean? Kind of funny. Let's sing this one together. Every time I tried to make it on my own, every time I tried to stand and start to fall, all those lonely roads that I had traveled on, there was Jesus.
That sounds beautiful.
When this life I built came crashing to the ground, when the friends I had were nowhere to be found, I couldn't see it then, but I can see it now. There was Jesus.
Amen.
In the waiting, in the searching, in the healing and the hurting, like a blessing buried in the broken pieces. Every minute, every moment, where I've been and where I'm going, even when I didn't know it but couldn't see, there was Jesus.
Can I get a witness out there?
Oh, there was Jesus. Yeah, there was Jesus. Oh, yes. For this man who needs amazing kind of grace, forgiveness at a price I couldn't pay. I'm not perfect, so I thank God every day. There was Jesus. In the waiting, in the searching, in the healing and the hurting, like a blessing buried in the broken pieces. Every minute, every moment, where I've been and where I'm going, even when I didn't know it or couldn't see it, there was Jesus on the mountain, in the valleys. There was Jesus in the shadows of the hours. There was Jesus in the fire, in the flood. Jesus always is and always was. No, no, I never walk alone. No, I'll never walk alone. You were always there. In the waiting, in the searching, in the healing and the hurting, like a blessing buried in the broken pieces. Every minute, every moment, where I've been and where I'm going, even when I didn't know it or couldn't see it, there was Jesus. Oh, there was Jesus. There was Jesus.
Prison bars can't stop him. The only thing that he has a hard time with is hard hearts. Really. I mean, those are the ones who just, say. But he found us. He made a way. So let's do. And that's the truth. He can only work with what we allow him to do. He's not pushy. He's a gentleman. He won't violate free will. You know all that. We do have choices. Oh, man. Chain breaker. He's a chain breaker. You know that? That's right. He's also a lock picker. He can get you, if your heart's locked up, he knows the combination. Amen? You've been walking the same old road for miles and miles. You've been hearing the same old voice tell the same old lies. Yes, you have. You are trying to fill the same old holes inside. There's a better life. There's a better life. You got pain. Come on. He's a pain taker. If you feel it all, he's a way maker. You need freedom, a saving. He's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. Amen. Can I get an amen? We've all searched for the light of day in the dead of night. We've all found ourselves worn out from the same old fight. We've all run to things we know that just ain't right. But there's a better life. Oh, there's a better life. You got chains. He's a chain breaker. Yes, he is. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom or saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. If you believe it, you receive it. You can feel it. Somebody testify, testify. Come on. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify. One more time. If you believe it, oh, you receive it. If you can feel it, somebody testify. You need pain. He's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom or saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you've got your pain, yeah, he's a chain breaker. Oh, chain breaker. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes, I can witness to that so much. Yes. I'm sure some of us have some good stories to tell. And he is a pain taker. I'm glad about that. We don't have to live in pain, you know. He cares about what hurts. The Bible says that he's touched with the feeling of our weakness, you know, of our infirmity. What hurts you hurts him. Isn't that good to know? So if you have pain today, I'm just going to set on that for a minute. Release it to the Lord today. The Lord understands. He's loved you all through. And you know, a lot of times the pain comes from our own failures and our own mistakes, that we just get so hard on ourselves that we don't allow God to forgive and God to cleanse and God to heal. So that's for somebody today. God is cleansing you. He is healing you, and he is setting you free right now from that pain. It's no longer going to be, you're not going to be a slave to that pain anymore. Amen. That's the truth. He's setting you free, and that's a word from him for you. You are here, moving in our midst, worshiping. Worship you. You are here working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. You are way maker, miracle work, promise keep, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are way maker, miracle work, promise and keeper. Life.
and the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are here. You're touching every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, healing every heart.
I told you.
I worship you. I worship you. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are here, turning lives around. I worship you. I worship you. You are here. You're mending every heart. I worship you. I worship you.
You're a way maker.
You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are way maker, miracle worker.
Thank you, Father. You're worthy, Jesus.
It's who you are. That is 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 who you are.
Even when
I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop. You never stop working.
Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I can't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it working. When I can't feel it working. You never stop. You never stop working. Because you are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are.
Even when I don't see it.
Even when I don't see it.
You're working.
Even when I can't feel it. You're still working.
You never stop.
You never stop working.
You never stop.
One more time. Even when I don't see it. You're working. You feel it. You're working. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop. You never stop working.
That is who.
That is who you are. That is who you are. Cause that is who you are. 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 That is who you are.
Father, we thank you so much for the blessing of being in Christ. We thank you, Lord, for your healing presence even here among us today.
Yes.
We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the gift of family. We thank you that you meet every need that we have. We thank you for Christ dying on the cross, Lord. We thank you that we're a people who are peculiar, who are called according to your purpose. And we thank you, Lord, that we're loved. We thank you, Lord, that you give us new opportunities every day, that the blood of Jesus covers us, that the Spirit indwells us, and that your word is a light. It's a lamp unto our feet. So we praise you in Christ's name. And all God's people said, amen. I want to read to you from Psalm 84, and then also I'm going to read to you from Acts chapter 17. We read in the English Standard Version of the Holy Scriptures in Psalm 84. It's a psalm of the sons of Korah, and it says this: "How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts! My soul longs, yes, faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. At your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise. Selah. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. They go through the valley of Baca. They make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Selah. Behold our shield, O God. Look on the face of your anointed, for a day in your courts is better than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. The Lord of hosts, blessed is the one who trusts in you." And in the New Covenant, in Acts chapter 17, Paul addressed the men of the Areopagus as follows in verse 22 of Acts 17. He said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are a very religious people. For as I passed along, I observed the objects of your worship. I found also an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives life to all mankind, life and breath and everything. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being." Father, we thank you that we all did come from Adam and Eve, our first parents. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that we now, because of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, each and every one of us is individually a temple indwelt by the Holy Spirit, the human body, our emotions, our mind, our will, our soul, our spirit, everything that it is to be human. We are the unit of your indwelling, the temple. And together we're the temple of God because we're all part of the body of Christ. And so today when we're outdoors, Father, remind us once again of the reality that church is a people. Church are individual human beings brought together in family and in worship and discipleship. We are not four walls of any building. And we are connected with every other body of people who confess Christ in this town and in this county, and in this state, and our nation, and around the world, and down through history, all the way to Calvary. And we thank you, Father, for every good thing that you give us. And Thank you for the work of those today that have made it possible for us to gather. Thank you for Mike and Sandy setting up sound and doing different things. Thank you for Debbie and Ron and Fred and Kelly and Jeff and Linda who've done things. Thank you for the advanced preparation of Deanna and Kathy Rexford and many that I haven't mentioned but who you know. And thank you for all this food that we've brought together and for our guests today. May we be have a great time of fellowship. Thank you, Father, for the rain, and thank you for the sunshine. Thank you for this day, this 18th day of September, and we pray blessing upon our city of Fortuna, upon our county, and may we continue to be a blessing in our places of recreation, work, education, and everything else we put our hand and our heart to. In Jesus' name, amen. Talk about the renewal of the mind, but I will probably in a couple weeks from the book of Romans. But today I want to talk to you about something very special to my heart. I want to talk to you about Trump, and I'm not talking about Donald. I'm talking about the Trump of the Lord, or the shofar. In my time here, I don't think, does anybody remember if I've actually done a message just on the shofar since I've been here? Does anybody remember? I haven't. I've done it before elsewhere. To begin with, I want to ask a blessing. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, Master of the universe, who sanctifies us with his commandments and commands us to hear the sound of the shofar. Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech ha'olam asher kedeshanu b'mitzvotav ve'tzivanu lishmoa kol shofar. In the Hebrew tongue, this is the blessing that I first read in English. And the shofar is very important to our Hebrew brothers and sisters because it sounded in the fall at the Feast of the Trumpets and at the head of the year, the new year, which is Rosh Hashanah, which is 1 week from now, September 25th on the calendar. And so I want to talk to you about the trump or the shofar today. To begin with, Psalm 150, actually it might be 150, I might have had a typo, but in the Psalms it says, praise him with the shofar sound, praise him with the lute and the harp. And where it says trumpet, I'm just going to say shofar because this was the trumpet of the ancient peoples. And I do need someone, Lori, would you help me again? Get into this case. I should have opened it beforehand. You can come around this side. Just open up my trumpet case here and lay it on the table because I'll use that in a second. This shofar or these other ones. Which I'm going to have, Kevin, you want to help me pass these out too? This is the shofar of, or the horn of an eland. Now, you could look that up on your own, E-L-A-N-D. They live in Africa today. I think they might have used to be in Israel. And then this is a Gemsbok antelope. And on the sheets going around that people are passing, there might be, I think there's a Gemsbok on there. There's not an eland, but those are a couple different kinds. The big curly one is an animal called the kudu. But the ram's horn, or this horn of an animal, is one of the earliest musical instruments known to mankind. And what I want to do today, too, is that if I say something that really has a deeper spiritual meaning, I'm going to throw my hand up like this at a couple different times because there's a deeper meaning where you can read in between the lines, and I'm going to help you do that when we get there. The shofar is the most mentioned musical instrument in the Bible. It's mentioned 72 times. Can you say 72? 72 times. So it's mentioned more than flutes, lutes, harps, and other things. Unlike other instruments, okay, this is a read in between the lines. Unlike other instruments, I think this would be even better to hold the shofar up. Unlike other instruments, the shofar has remained natural and unchanged in its form for millennia. The deeper spiritual meaning to that, humanity has remained unchanged and in his and her natural form for millennia. The shofar is used to usher in biblical festivals for the Jews, including the Sabbath, which is sundown Friday night to sundown Saturday. And it's used to inspire people to amend their lives and repent. It was developed by early Hebrews and is made from the horn of an animal, usually a ram, but many times a goat, a sheep, or an antelope. And that one paper on the backside that looks like this, this is the most common shofar that is out there, a ram's horn, okay, a basic sheep. Now, up in Montana, I actually had a friend that made one out of a mountain sheep, you know, the kind that we have up there in Montana and Idaho. But this large one is also called a Yemenite shofar. It's made from the horn of an animal called a kudu. They can be made from goats, sheep, or antelope. There's also the silver trumpets that are made out of silver in Numbers 10:10, which says, "On the day of your gladness also, and at your appointed feasts, and at the beginning of your months, you shall blow the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings. They shall be a reminder of you before your God. I am the Lord your God." So I mention that because you can make trumpets out of silver or brass. I spilled my coffee. Sorry, just a little bit. But these are what man makes, and they're nothing like what God makes with the natural horn, okay? The shofar blast is a call to action, an alarm, an awakening, a call, and a warning. In Joel 2, verse 1 and 2, it says, "Blow a trumpet in Zion. Sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble. For the day of the Lord is coming, it is near, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness." So what's happening here is that it's time to wake up, like an alarm buzzer going off in the morning. When you hear the sound of the shofar, it's a cause for alarm, a cause for repentance in the Jewish mind. In 1 Kings 1:34 it says, "And let Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet there anoint him king over Israel. Then blow the trumpet and say, long live King Solomon." That was how they knew from miles away that he was being anointed king, because they would hear the shofars going off. In Zechariah 9:14, it talks about the day of the Lord in the future. It says, "Then the Lord will appear over them, and his arrow will go forth like lightning, and the Lord will sound the shofar and will march forth in the whirlwinds of the south." So there's a couple tones, and I've been meaning to teach you about this before. You don't have to remember it, but it's interesting to note that the Jews have different tones of the shofar, which mean different things. And the first one is tekaya. It means a call to attention, as in for worship or praise. And it goes like this. In Psalm 98, verse 6, it says, "With trumpets and the sound of the horn make a joyful noise before the king, the Lord." It would have been a simple call that it's time to praise, it's time to worship. And then there was another call, the Shevarim, which is also a call of worship, but it's a call to repentance or brokenness. When they would hear this, they would think of repentance. And then there was Terna, the call of war. And friends, for just a moment, do you realize that we're not called just to attention or just to praise and worship? But as believers, we are called to battle. Do you understand the double meaning? Ephesians 6, to take up the full armor of God. The call of Terna, the call to war, warfare and victory, goes like this. It's nine short blasts in groups of three. This is probably part of what happened in Joshua chapter 6, verses 4 and 5, when it states this, seven priests shall bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. And on the seventh day you shall march around the city of Jericho seven times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. And when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, when you hear the sound of the trumpet, then all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city will fall down flat. So far, we've talked about Tekiah, the call to attention, Shevarim, the call of worship, Ternah, the call of war, and then lastly, there's the call of peace, or Shalom, the call to wholeness, which is called Tekiah Gedola. And Tekiah Gedola is perhaps an introduction with one note, but then one long note, which is the note of peace. This call is a call to give thanks for victory in the battle. Thanks for God's mercy. Thanks for his protection and redemption, and also thanks for healing. So it's common among Jews, the common shofar call is to have Tekiah, Shevarim, Ternah, and Tekiah Gedola all together to call our attention to God. It's a call of worship and prayer, repentance. It's a call of war for victory, as well as a call of peace and having our shalom in God. That's what these different calls mean, but for a moment, I want to give you just a couple other notes. Not from the shofar, but things to notice. The shofar, as you see, is natural in form, and it's naturally hollow. But there is flesh that must be removed for it to sound properly. Let me repeat, like you, it must have the flesh removed. The Bible talks about a victory of the spirit over the flesh. And if you want to know, by the way, how this flesh in this thing is removed, so they're naturally hollow, but there's blood vessels and there's tissues that connect this cartilage-like substance to the rest of the animal. This has had the outer skin taken off. It's been polished to make it smell good after the flesh essentially rots and dries out of it. I anoint it with oil to give it a wonderful smell. But they actually will bury it in the ground, and the natural process speeds up, and they also put bugs in it as well. So I don't have my arm up for this, because God doesn't give us bugs, okay? It is sounded by breath, this horn and other ram's horns. Do you remember how Adam, natural in form from the earth, was then given the breath of the Creator? And this breath of the Creator gave him life to be a being in the very likeness of God. In John 20, verse 22, the resurrected Christ breathed on his disciples, and he said these words, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Ephesians 5:18 says to be filled with the Spirit, and we know that this means to be continually filled with the Spirit. For when we're not filled with the Spirit, we attempt to fill our life with other comforts other than the Comforter. And the Holy Spirit is called the Comforter by the Lord. Now, the sound of the shofar is pure and it's natural, and this pure natural sound symbolizes the lives we are called to live. What's interesting, too, is every shofar, the ones that you have being passed around and other ones that you might get from the land of Israel, each one sounds a unique note, but the note that it sounds, when done well, is pure and natural. The shofar, as the bent horn, the picture of the ram's horn, being bent reminds us of two things. First, that God is our provider, and he provided a ram for Abraham and Isaac in Genesis 22. This is a story of its own, but if you don't remember, Isaac is being taken up Mount Moriah by his father Abraham, and he says, "Father, where's the sacrifice?" And Abraham tells his son that God himself will provide for himself a sacrifice. And that sacrifice in Genesis 22, which the Hebrews call this chapter the Akedah. The Akedah means the binding of Isaac to the altar, but also the fact that those curved ram's horns were locked in the thicket. They were locked in the bush, and the ram itself was bound. So God provided a ram up there and told Abraham not to sacrifice his son Isaac. The curve of the ram's horn reminds us of repentance and a contrite heart, just like if we were to bend over to give honor to the king, like this. Just like when we kneel for prayer, our body is bent, and so the shofar is bent or curved. It signifies our contribution to God's natural and pure working in our life that we have to develop and continue in humility. Amen? So the very fact that this thing is curved in its natural form points toward repentance. Now, there's a bunch of different animals. If you saw that sheet go around, do you see which animal is not used for the shofar? Which animal is it? It's not the goat. Now, some horns, raise your hand, somebody. Which horn will not be used but could be used? Lucinda. It is cattle. The Jews do not use the horn of cattle because they never want to remind God ever again of their failure and their sin at Mount Sinai in worshiping the golden calf. So they will sound the horn of an antelope at Jubilee when debts are forgiven because it's upright and straight and it reminds them of joy. And they will sound curved ram's horns and kudu horns and other horns because it reminds them of the curvature of the human will and heart that needs to bend to God's will and repentance. But they will not sound a cow horn, a cattle horn, a bull horn. Now, this is the final thought, the first trumpet versus the last trumpet. Jewish tradition actually teaches that the first trumpet was at Mount Sinai. We read in Exodus 19:16. On the morning of the third day, this is in the year, by the way, approximately 3,400 years ago, and Exodus records it as follows. On the morning of the third day, there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast or shofar blast so that all the people in the camp trembled. They're there at Mount Sinai and God is wanting to meet with them. And the Hebrew people know this as the first trumpet. Now, it's interesting that the Bible also refers to a last trumpet. The first trumpet was at Mount Sinai, but the last trumpet will sound at the return of Messiah. Matthew 24, verse 31 says this, I quote, "And he will send out his angels with a loud shofar call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of earth, from one end of heaven to another." And I also quote 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and 52, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall all be changed." And finally, in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command and the voice of an archangel and with the sound of the trumpet or the shofar of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first." Saints, in your heart this morning, do you hear the shofar call? Do you hear God's call to bend your will to his? Do you hear his call to repent, his call to war, his call to renewal and healing and victory, and his call to be awake, to be alert, to be ready and prepared? Now, one final note that I find interesting. In the tradition of early Judaism, when a bridegroom went to claim his bride, the attendants would announce the coming of the bridegroom with the blowing of the shofar and with the proclamation, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh." This is what's going to happen at the return of Christ, our bridegroom. Saints, this day and always, hear the sound, hear the blast, and hear the significance of the shofar.